Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 22nd. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Mel. How you doing, Mel?
Hi, everyone. I'm so good. So excited to be here. Taryn, I have a question for you. Is your refrigerator running?
Yes.
Well, then you better go catch it.
Oh, yes. Man. Oh, wow. That was dark. That was dark.
If you liked that joke, you're going to love today's update. So many jokes.
Oh, man. Yes, we are here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. It was day 24 in the house. And after, you know, day after day of just a very complex web of relationships and strategy, we finally have a bit of an off day here as it's mostly going to be prank calls and pointless Kyle campaigning.
Yeah, I was a little bit disappointed at first that the campaigning was being interrupted by nothing, what I assume is just going to be a task. But then after listening to Kyle campaign to a few people, I was like, okay, this is fine. We can do prank phone calls instead.
Yeah, I mean, if you've heard Kyle talk about last week, either last week or this week, you've already heard his campaign.
But we're going to go over it again. Get ready.
So let's get into it. Of course, Gino is our HOH. He nominated Marty and Jess, but Marty won the veto. And then Gino was convinced to put Kyle up on the block. And yesterday morning, we talked about this already, but he discussed it with Kyle. And Kyle was just like, all right, yeah, that's a good move.
Yeah, I was like so frustrated with him. I can't tell if he intentionally was kind of rolling over as part of his quote unquote strategy, or if this was just like not enough time to process. But he just like couldn't get over the fact that because it was a good move, he shouldn't fight it. He's like, oh, yeah, it's a good move. OK, well, therefore, because it's a good move, I should just take it. Like, no, that's not what this is about. Moves happen. Whether you think they're good or not, you do what's best for you. And he was just sad. Kyle kind of moping around instead.
Yeah, yeah. It's he's going to talk to Helena later. And he's like, I'm so proud of Gino for this move in the game because it's so smart. But like personally, it hurts. And I'm just like, this, of course, Kyle thinks it's smart. Like Kyle's the king of nominating his allies. But if Kyle thinks it's smart, you should probably reevaluate.
That too. Like there's a universe where it's not smart and that's the universe he needs to get to. Like sit down, come up with a story where it doesn't make any sense because honestly, it doesn't really. I mean, we can talk about it later, but fight for it. And I guess you can kind of call what he does later fighting for it, but I think that's pushing it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, honestly, like that's the thing about Kyle's campaigning is that it feels like it's more about like justifying last week as a way of getting out of this situation than it is about trying to move forward this week and trying to like, you know, hoist blame onto others and like what I did wasn't really that bad. And this is why it was actually making sense and justified. And then it is about like, okay, but look, nobody likes me. Like, you know, like, there's like, accept where you are and try to move forward. I mean, again, it's not going to work, but like, at least it'd be more entertaining to listen.
Yeah. My problem with Kyle's campaigning is he is campaigning the way that he thinks A, that he would want to be campaigned to, and B, like how he would do it in real life. So, okay, I have wronged someone in real life. Therefore, what I'm going to do is go lay out the reasons for what happened, like apologize for them and say what I can do moving forward to build trust. Like, sure, in theory, that sounds good, but no one cares what happened last week. They know they saw what happened last week. They don't really care the reasons for it. It's not like he's blowing everyone's mind with, oh, Marty told you to put Josh up. Well, Kyle, you're fine. Well, now that we know that, like, no, no one cares. So stop.
Yeah, it's as though he thinks that if he can just resolve the whole thing about last week, then everyone will stop wanting him out, which doesn't seem like it is the case here. Everyone is very, once the feeds come back from the veto ceremony, everybody's very pleased that Kyle is on the block. There are celebrations. There's talk about how wonderful Gino is for doing this. Everybody loves the fact that Kyle's on the block. As per expected behavior from them.
Is this a good place to stop down and talk about whether this is a good idea or not? Like, I think you did yesterday, but now that it's happened and Gino's had the chance to talk to more people.
Sure. Yeah.
Is it a good idea?
I don't think so.
I feel like I go back and forth. I feel like I'm leaning towards it's not, because like historically, when has anyone ever put up an ally and had it really turn out? Like, it's always really just turned out bad. I think there's a universe where it could be a good idea, but that would mean that Gino has to use this to build something else. And he's not doing that. He's just kind of like, well, if I sacrifice Kyle, then people will like me, right? And he just gets to like put his feet up and just be back in the good graces. But he needs to use Kyle leaving to do something bigger, and he's just not.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like if Gino were the player that's capable of utilizing a move like this to advance his position significantly in the game, then he's also the player that could have advanced his position significantly in the game without having to do this. You know what I mean?
That's very fair. Like, yeah.
It's a Hail Mary move, but without much to back it up. And again, like, it's not like he's like dead in the water now. It can't win the game. I think he can still win the game. You know, I just feel like this is not going to help him win the game. I feel like having a locked in jury vote, a guaranteed ally, somebody that would fall on his sword for you, who wants to bring you to the final two and you definitely beat, like, so valuable in the game, regardless of what kind of attention or heat they bring on you. You know, there's this notion of like, oh, well, he's putting a target on Gino's back, like your ally's putting a target on your back. And like, in my opinion, the time to jump off of a sinking ship in Big Brother is when somebody is on the block and probably already going home. You don't want to spend a week with the entire house against you as you're campaigning for them to stay when it's never going to happen or something like that, right? Like, if Kyle had another ally that was loyal to him this week that was trying to kill, like if Kevin, who wanted Kyle to stay because Kyle caused chaos in the house, spent this week campaigning to try to keep Kyle in the game, I'd be like, dude, it's over. Stop. But if you are in power, you should never be losing an ally. It's like Big Brother is a numbers game, and Kyle is a number, a very good number, or solid number at least for Gino. But there's a first for everything. So maybe this is the first time it ends up working out. I just think that's definitely not the optimal route here.
Yeah, because even if he wanted to separate himself from Kyle, he could have done that without getting Kyle out. Exactly. Like, the house would have been mad at him, but it's like, well, you know what? You guys deal with Kyle. Like, I have to do this for my game, and then separate yourself from Kyle, and then he's the house pariah next week, and you separated yourself from him. So in theory, you're not being put up as a pawn. He might still be anyway. That's the risk. But it's then about weighing that short-term risk versus a long-term gain of you actually got someone out who was coming for you rather than appeasing the house and hoping that that keeps you safe for two more weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you could easily be like, look, I'm pissed at Kyle for what he did. I want nothing to do with him in the game. But just on a human level, I can't be the one to send him out this week. That would be too much. Like, I can't do that. You know, the whole house is against him. I'm sure we'll all get him out next week. but I just can't be the one to do it this week and spend zero time talking to Kyle that week. Spend time talking with everyone else, develop relationships, and get to a point where they don't want to put you up on the block next to Kyle. Because why would they want to? Why would they want to put up a person that they've developed a relationship with over the course of his HOH reign? Why would they want to ruin that relationship by putting him up next to Kyle when he's going to stay anyway and Kyle's going to leave, right? They'd put up Kyle and a pawn, Kyle and Betty, Kyle and Jess, Kyle and Kevin, whatever it is, right? And Gino, by the strength of his relationships, stays off the block. He can reposition himself in that way. And then, you know, lo and behold, if somebody like Jace or even Kyle wins the HOH, like now you're really cooking, right? Like, so, you know, I feel like there are other options here for sure, but, it is what it is. He has done it. So
yeah, we'll have to go from here.
All right. So, Kyle is going to start campaigning a little bit again. Like he's going to talk to Hermann. So Kyle's campaign, a lot of it is, as we talked about, explaining what happened last week, trying to defend his decisions to some degree while apologizing for how he made people feel on the other hand. And also throwing people under the bus, trying to give out as much information as possible that he has, in regard to Jess, because Jess is the person he's campaigning against. And he lets, Hermann know, hey, Jess was trying to get you on the block. Jess has been saying things about you. And they see you as a threat. They're coming for you. Stuff like that.
Yeah, whose name does he keep throwing at? I'm just trying to look here. So Kyle says, this is later, but he says he's targeting Moose, Kevin, and Marty. Are those the three names he's kept consistent all day? Like he's kind of telling everyone that?
Yeah, Marty in particular is like a big target of his. Obviously Moose.
Of course, Moose.
Who still hasn't done anything to Kyle. What, even after being targeted, hasn't done a thing to Kyle. He like said, hey, Kyle has other alliances, but I'm not going to say anything quite yet. And then never did.
Over the course of the day, it turns from like, Moose was this guy I like kind of sort of knew in school to like this morning he was having a conversation. Moose, I knew for 4 years. Like he's my best friend. Like it turns into this thing like Moose betrayed me. We were so close. It's like, no, you've turned this into something that it's not because you have this irrational hatred for Moose because reasons.
Imagine betraying somebody and being and then like going around being like that person really just betrayed me. Unbelievable.
It's Kyle's world and Moose is just living in it.
So weird.
Yeah.
He pitches to Tanisha later in the day that he'd be a great juror. This is what he'd been saying for weeks, but it's particularly humorous now. that he's like, I'm really good. I love this game. I'd be a great juror. I'd make a great decision.
I just don't understand why that's that too. Why is that even an argument? Just Kyle, try to think of the house, like take a step back from your little campaign rehash thing and like look at the house. They're all mad at you. They all want you out. You think the argument that's going to like change the entire house is, oh, well, let's put Kyle on jury. Like that's worth like uprooting all of our plans, like flipping on Jess, getting them out just to have Kyle in jury. Like, what is that? That's so stupid. I'm so annoyed at that argument.
I think it's a difficult argument to make yourself, but it has been something that people have considered in the past of like, hey, we're close to jury. We've got two options on the block. And you know, this person seems like they're going to be a bitter juror and this person seems like they're going to make a rational decision. Most people want the juror that's going to make the rational decision. The problem is in this case, between Kyle and Jess, Jess seems like the one that would make the rational decision. And Kyle seems like the one that would be like, nah, Moose betrayed me. So
that person was my ally. False. Not voting for them.
It falls a little short there, I think.
Even if he was going to be the most rational juror, I just don't think, I mean, maybe I can concede that it's worth at least giving that an argument, but I just can't even see that making like a tiny step, like start with something else. And then maybe that can be the last little push. Like, and in addition to everything else, like I'll be a great juror, but don't lead with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like if all else is equal, kind of an argument, nobody's going to be like, well, this person's coming for me, but this person's going to be a bitter juror, right. You know? Mm-hmm. So He, again, says, like, his target is Marty. He says, Marty is the one that got me to target Josh in the first place. Then he flipped on me. And Tanisha's like, I don't know about that. I'm like, what? You guys? Josh, Marty already told everybody he did this. At least he told Josh, right? Like, I guess maybe it didn't come back to Tanisha, but I'm pretty sure she was informed about this. But either way, he's trying to dump all this information.
Why don't you think that's working? Like, why don't people care that it's Marty? Is it just because Marty already told them? Like, if he hadn't told them, would this do anything? Like, if you blame someone else for your move, does it work? Does it help?
I mean, Marty got ahead of it, I think. Mm-hmm. That Marty, you know, and it was funny at the time that he was going to Josh and being like, look, I'm the reason you're on the block, but I've changed my mind, essentially. And he kind of, the way that he explained it was like, hey, you know, I saw you as a threat. I was working with them, but like everything changed. And that was part of, I think, why he needed to cast a vote to save Josh that week prove that he is not with the guys anymore, that the guy who got them to put Josh on the block, is gone because he's not with them anymore. He's only that guy with the guys. Now he's on the other side. And now he loves Josh, right? So, it's like, sure, okay, you know, Marty was working with you at the time and he saw me as a threat, like, but now he's working with me. So what does that do for me? Like, he's not gonna go to me and be like, hey, you should really backdoor yourself.
Right.
You know?
It's actually low key kind of a decent move if Marty did it intentionally. He didn't, but I'm just saying in general, like, could you do that? Like, target someone, flip on them, then like say, then get them mad at the HOH. I don't know. Maybe that's too much.
I would say you can pull it off, but it's probably not worth the risk. Like, what does it really do for you?
Yeah, I guess it's not really a resume move. I targeted you and then I didn't vote for you to leave.
Yeah. He also campaigns to Helena. This was actually kind of funny because at this point, and I'm just cycling through all the Kyle campaigns before we get to the phone calls. But at this point, like, everybody's hearing about Kyle's campaign and how it's mostly just like a rehash of last week. And everyone's like, oh my God.
this is the one I wrote down. I picked the Kyle and Helena talk. It's like the bulk of my notes. And then everyone else is just like, same, same, same.
Yeah. Well, because Kyle is like, all right, well, I'd like to go for last week. And she's like, can we not actually do that? Please.
And another funny part is he's doing all of these in the HOH room. He's just like, I'm basically still HOH, or like, let's go to the scene of the crime and like I'll detail. And there's where I betrayed Josh. And there's where I tried to get Musa.
Yeah. He's putting himself back in the headspace. She is going to kind of go in on him about the way that he treated her after the vote, that she didn't appreciate that. And not really even kind of pretend like this is going to happen.
Was she legitimately upset about this? Because if so, I would never last in this house due to the you hugged this person and this person, but not me after the vote. And I'm like, oh, I don't care. I just hugged who was close to me. Go away. So was she upset? Yeah.
Well, I think so, and because also like there was that conversation that he had with her that was pretty pointed, and she felt not great about it. She went to Kevin and to Summer and to talk about like, hey, Kyle just kind of like interrogated me about the vote. I talked about this a little bit a few days ago. It was I think it was on Friday or something that the conversation happened because. He was still, you know, wondering about the vote. So it was a thing that like she did feel kind of like disrespected. And I think that she's I think that was again, like part, like maybe if Kyle doesn't have that conversation, maybe Helena doesn't push for the Kyle thing by the end of, because Kevin did have a conversation with Helena where he was like, maybe we do want to keep Kyle in the game. But Helena was like, this guy's annoying. Like he really like he came at me. So yeah. I kind of do want him gone. And if that hadn't been the case, maybe she doesn't, when talking to Gino and Gino starts to think maybe I should put up Kyle, maybe she doesn't push on that button as it's popping up. And maybe if she doesn't, it doesn't happen. Like, you know, it's sometimes it's the little things.
And I think, yeah, the little thing. I think this is another case of Kyle not really understanding that he can't pitch to people the way he wants to be pitched to. Like, if he knows this, that Helena, this is something that she cares about, he needs to make sure he goes out of his way and hugs her and talks to her and makes her feel included. And he's not doing these things because he just kind of is like, he's like the same pitch to everyone. Like, there's not really, like, he'll maybe switch up the names a little bit depending on who he's talking to. But like, it's not tailored to each person, and it should be. And at this point, it's definitely too late. This is what he should have been doing before. But like, you need, as a player, to be able to notice these things and see what players care about and care about them.
Here's a summer travel tip. Pack just one pair of shoes that goes with every outfit. Like the versatile, perfectly packable tree shoes from Allbirds. Find your pair of Tree Dashers 2, Runners, Pipers, and more at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. So obviously this isn't really going anywhere either with Helena. You know, this is like the one that visibly goes the worst for Kyle, I think.
The summer one later is pretty bad too.
It's not great. He does try to talk with Summer. He does let Summer know that people are grouping her, Tanisha, and Betty together. It's again, just like it's like telling the whole story of what happened, and Summer's just like, all right, dude, I don't know why you didn't talk to me last week. I would have told you the votes weren't there.
Right. Yeah. And he's just, all they're doing is going and comparing notes. Like, there's very little he could say right now. I do want to talk about what you think Kyle should be doing at this point. If there's anything, like if there's anything he should have done that's in the past, but like, is there anything now, I guess maybe pre all of these pitches, like after he's put on the block, what should Kyle do to give himself any sort of chance to stay?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly like, normally what you would do is you have to position yourself with one group against the other. The problem is that there aren't really groups. Right. And so I think what I said yesterday was that like, he has to make sides in the house first. Then he has to position himself on one of the sides. So there's a lot that he would have to do, and it would require like a very skilled player, I think, to do it. But like, this house has been so fluid since his HOH reign, because he broke everything into pieces, that you would need to gather certain people together and be like, okay, now I'm on the block. And now it's time for me to tell you all of the information that I know. And he is doing that to some degree, but the problem is that he's telling information that he thinks is genuine, right? And most of it is either false or doesn't help him at all, because there really aren't any sides. But what he should be doing is just straight up just trying to formulate some kind of structure in the house that would benefit him. So if that means, let's say he needs to convince, you know, the Gino side, okay, Gino, yes, you put me on the block, but we're still not out of this yet, because Jace and Marty and Josh and Helena and Kevin can all vote for me to stay, and then you can break the tie and I would stay. And these are people who are thinking about working together. And you know, you do need to worry about all of these other people on the other side, right? Maybe it's like, you know, I know this, and I know that, like, I just talked to Summer, and Summer told me that her Tanisha and Betty and Herman and Moose, you know, they're working together or something like that. That would be one method, but I don't think that would work super well because they have no reason to believe that Kyle has that information. Right. Kyle could go to the other side though and say, hey, look, I've been with Gino all this time. I know that he's still secretly working with Marty. I know that he's got Helena. I know that he's got Kevin. He's got Jace. And you guys need to worry about this because they're going to come for you. And he's like, again, like a little bit doing this, but not nearly as much as he needs to be. And, hey, if you keep me around, I'm gunning straight for them. Like I'm a number for you. He needs to also say they've got Jess, obviously, which is, it's just a tough thing to do. Like, why would they take out Jess if Jess is just going to do the same thing? So ultimately, I think this is a long, rambly way of saying, like, there's not much he can do. I'm thinking about in terms of already sort of established lines. He could try to, like, just completely group random people together. Over the course of a few days, you could try to do something to make this happen. This is what Dan did over a few weeks, which is that he looked at different groups and encouraged different groups to separate into different ways over in Big Brother Canada or in Big Brother 10, in the beginning portion of that season. But to do it in a few days and to be Kyle trying to do it, it's just like, you know.
Yeah, really his only hope would be to try and market himself as like, if you keep me, it's going against the HOH. But when the HOH is like the person in the house that probably cares the least if Kyle even leaves, like if the house flipped and kept Kyle, he'd be like, all right, whatever. Like it doesn't affect him very much, so he can't even market that strategy. So yeah, pretty low chance here.
Yeah, I mean, and so then ultimately, like, the point of putting people into groups is then you have to be like, and Jess is against you, right? And you have to convincingly convince a large enough group of people that Jess is bad for their game, that even though they hate him and that he's a menace, that for them and only them, it's good for them to keep him around. And then maybe things start brewing. Somebody like Summer, for instance, if he could convince Summer has enough influence that Summer could talk to some other people and maybe make something happen, that if he is secretly Summer's secret weapon, and something like that, then maybe something could happen. But like Summer is not, like, Summer has enough secret weapons. Like, right. She doesn't even need him.
And in all of his pitches, he's fighting, oh, Jess doesn't even study days. Jess can't win competitions. I can win competitions and yeah. keep you safe. So he's already trying to market them as like, they're not a threat. Like, they can't win anything. It's like, that's a real great argument. So it's like, you gotta pick one either. I don't know. Not gonna work.
Yeah, he keeps talking about how he's an asset to people, but like people, he's never gonna be seen as an asset. He's only ever gonna be seen as like the way that he stays, in my opinion, is that he's seen as the lesser of two evils in regards to any individual's game. Like, yeah, I hate Kyle, but Jess is bad for my game because Jess is working with these people and coming for these people, right? Mm-hmm. And that's more dangerous when Jess is seen as a threat, as somebody that could win the game, as somebody that could win competitions, than somebody who is the lesser threat between the two of them. So I definitely don't like how he's positioning that.
The last thing he just did when he won was target his allies. So you're saying I can win all these competitions and keep you safe. Except, I mean, the last thing I just did was not keep my alliance safe, but the next time for sure I will. It's like, no, stop it. Like, he should be trying to downplay himself if anything.
Oh. Yeah. He should be saying, look, I was doing a great job until I won that HOH. I'm throwing every single competition from here on out. Yes. I want nothing to do with power. It goes to my head. I lose it. All I want to do now is just be a number for whoever decides to keep me. And just so you know, Jess is coming for you.
P.S. Yeah.
The campaigning is doing nothing for anybody, obviously. Kevin and Summer debrief on it. Kevin has been thrown under the bus a little bit by Kyle's campaign. Summer says, I don't really care about what he has to say. Even like the throwing under the bus stuff is not really working. I mean, we spent 25 minutes on it, but it's completely pointless. We don't need to talk about Kyle's campaigning at all.
The only possible thing that this could result in is today. So this morning, for a really quick jump to this morning, Jess is frustrated that Kyle is spreading lies. So they maybe want to do something about that. So Jess could blow up their spot. Very, very, very unlikely, but might be something to watch out for. If this results in anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's like there are other ways that like Kyle could like there are plenty of tried and true methods of, whether intentionally or not, staying when you're up against somebody else in the block and you're in a tough spot. Like Kyle could also like go to Jess and be like, ah, I'm sorry. Like it's I get it. It's the two of us. Try to like play dead to Jess and then be like, you know what? On my way out, I'm going to give you some information. Give Jess some inflammatory information. Hope that they do something dumb with it. And then maybe they blow themselves up or something like that. Because there's all kinds of like Hail Mary throws that you can make as somebody on the block. But, I don't think any of them can work with Kyle.
No, he has no trust with anyone right now. That's the thing. It's not even like he has, because the only person he did have a little bit of trust with was Gino. It's not like Gino can't do anything. He can't vote. Like, I guess in theory, Gino can amass his great influence on people and change their vote. But no, he can't.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, throw some house meetings, just keep going. Just keep trying, Kyle. Just keep going. And then
that's one good thing he's doing is he's still trying.
It's not going to work, but no. You know, I want you to keep trying.
Yeah.
So we have some phone calls in the house. The phone starts ringing. Remember back to the first episode, the phone rings. Jay answers it. What? Oh, you're safe. Can't compete in the HOH. That phone is ringing again. And at first, when it's they run to the phone, they answer the phone. At first, they're getting some jokes, some prank calls. I didn't write the jokes down.
Oh, I did.
Okay.
I'll pick the best ones. What do you call a sleeping dinosaur? A dino snore.
Yeah.
That was for Moose.
I felt like there were a few dinosaur ones.
There was another dinosaur one. Yeah. How do dinosaurs decorate their bathroom with reptiles? I liked that one. They didn't get that one. It took them a bit. Like, come on, guys. So they started with some just jokes, and then there were some consequences. Would you call them that? Punishment?
Yeah, well, so there it's, I don't know if they're worried about Marsha the moose coming into the house when there is a moose in the house. I would imagine that most people, if I was in the house,
moose in the house, took me a second.
Right. If I was in the house and Moose started acting weird in any way, I'd be like, he's on a Marsha the Moose mission. Because obviously, if anybody is going to be contacted by Marsha the Moose, it's going to be Moose.
Why haven't they done that? Just another reason Moose. You need to be working. Oh, Arissa, we love you and you've done amazing so far, but you are missing a golden opportunity here.
These are basically tasks being given to the house guests. Betty is told to stop talking for an hour. So she does. And then, so you have completed your task.
Boring task ever. Okay, be quiet. Okay, you win. It's like a parent with a toddler. The next game we're going to play is shut up.
it's like, hey, Betty, stop talking for an hour. All right.
This is business B. Let's get it.
Get it.
It's like that Twilight Zone episode. She's like, okay, that's a little graphic. Lost her tongue. Lost her tongue.
Oh, this is why I haven't seen that. I would never watch that.
Helena has to extol the virtues of slop and make a whole bucket of slop and eat the slop and be like, oh, slop is so good. So nutritional. Lots of vitamins.
I love slop. Slop is so
great.
Tasty. Makes my skin nice. My pants fit better. It's funny how everyone is like so used to these tasks now where Helena hangs up the phone and she's just like, isn't slop great? And everyone's like, yes, I see what you're putting down. We love slop. Let's go.
I'm surprised they didn't give this one to Jace personally. I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
So funny. They want them to succeed, Karen. They can't. Jace, go eat one spoonful of slop. I can't.
Maybe that would have been too dark.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Summer gets some handcuffs. Not like you're arrested handcuffs. These are fuzzy handcuffs.
The internet quite enjoyed this. So Summer was handcuffed to Gino.
Yes.
And it was fine. I don't know. I don't see this shipping thing. Do you? You're a big shipper, right? But you watch the season
four. Of course. I mean, look, I get it. When I watch Jace and Gino together, they're pretty boring. When I watch Jace and Summer together, I'm like, all right. Or sorry, Jace and Summer. Gino and Summer together. There's chemistry there.
That's just because Summer is has enough chemistry for the both of them.
I agree.
Gino just puts up with it. Gino is made more exciting by the fact that Summer is like making him be more exciting. Anyways, if you love it, great. They were being very cute, going on dates, walking around the house, sitting on this bed, then sitting on this bed.
Summer's like, I bet Jace is jealous right now.
And then the camera zooms in on Jace, just like, mm-hmm. What you guys doing? Come check me out in the speedy room. Oh, just hanging out. Okay, it's fine. This is fine.
They do talk a little bit of game when they're handcuffed, but it's the same stuff they've already been talking about. Bringing back the Honey Bunch.
Honey Bunch that only comes up when one of them's like, so this would benefit me right now. Remember this thing we did? Yeah, let's do that.
A few people, Marty in particular, but also like Josh and a couple other people are going to be speculating. Maybe Betty got a power. Betty got a power.
No. But no, I mean, maybe.
They think Betty got a power, potentially.
Well, that was the first one, too. So there was like prank. Betty can't talk. So it's very fair.
That's, I think, why they thought, because like she was the first person to accomplish a task. It also was a very boring task.
Yeah.
And so like, all right, there's power. Betty got a power.
I don't think there's a lot of traction to this. I've heard it come up like maybe a little bit this morning. It's like, oh, maybe. Yeah. Whatever. Until they see something else, I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
There are people that are speculating outside of the house and inside the house that there is going to be some kind of power given away by all of this. I personally don't think so. I feel like this is probably just going to be.
But not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably just going to be these tasks just because like they would probably have advertised that there was some kind of twist beforehand. Mm-hmm. If there was going to be any kind of like important thing here.
They don't always do that, do they? For like little extra powers and stuff. I'm only thinking of series two, but that would have been way, way, way back then.
So. Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the last time there was a twist that wasn't told to us like in advance.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like I guess the fake double last season was like kind of sprung on us. But yeah, and it was still basically a week in advance that we were told. It was just like this week, you know, again, fake double. So,
yeah, after like 18 phone calls and like all these different punishments and stuff, I think this is just going to get them off slop. They've been on slop for a couple of days. They'll do all these tasks and yay, no more slop.
You completed all the tasks. You did it. They're going to do an interpretive dance.
This is right when we came back after the episode. And we just see people like waving their arms and doing this dance in the HOH room. Everyone's snapping. I love that. It was a poetry reading.
It was. So, I mean, the timing on this was great. I felt the feeds came back from the episode as they've been down for a little while, obviously, while the episode's on. And it just comes back to them like coming into the HOH room door. They're doing like a. They're doing their like weird little dance and then everyone is like snapping like this has all been choreographed like even the audience response and it was just like whoa, what just happened?
Yeah, that was great. I thought at first that it wasn't a task and they just decided to dance. I mean, they're bored, they were all looked like they're on HOH lockdown, have a dance.
The big one though. The biggest one, the one that is going to be talked about the most here is that Kevin has to make some spaghetti. He's going to make a big old pot of spaghetti. He makes a whole bunch of spaghetti and then feeds cut and then they come back and the spaghetti's been dumped on Kevin.
Yes. Yes, his face the whole time. So the phone rings and Gino answers it because Gino hasn't answered yet. And then they ask for Kevin specifically. Mm. And Kevin goes to the phone and you can see his face kind of drop as it goes on. He's like, okay. And he goes and says, I'm going to go make some spaghetti. And everyone else in the house is like, oh, do we get to eat? And Kevin says, no, this is not eating spaghetti. Everyone's like, oh, no. Oh, no.
Yes. So the spaghetti is dumped on Kevin. And it's so I have to see this because the response is very strange. Jess is like, I think I'm the only one who found that funny. And everyone else is like, yeah.
It keeps being referred to as a dark moment.
It was like, dark. That was really like he's going to talk to Moose about it. And so I think in part this is because of how like so Moose describes it as the audience, like this on the show, it will be very funny because your laughing was very funny and like they'll play some music and stuff. And it was, I think it'll play as very funny. And Kevin, when Kevin talks to Jess about it too, he was like it seemed as though he wanted it to be, you know, kind of darkly funny. But he's also he kind of has that sort of like week one and two Kevin energy, which is like, of course they made me do this. Like, you think they would have made Gino do this? No.
Mm. What, you don't want like spaghetti over Gino's abs and they put like the weird Big Brother music like they always do and make it a thing.
Yeah. So he kind of like plays up the idea that like, he's, I mean, I guess essentially just like being like singled out, by Big Brother and they're like, oh, like it's like, poor old Kevin. But everyone's like very much on board. Like, oh, that was like, that was dark. That was like in the moment, especially given like everything that's happening, it just felt wrong that you had to do that. And like, even, I feel like even people would be like, would you have done that, Herman? Like, would you have done, if they asked you to do that, would you have done it? And he's like, I think I would have had to, but I'm glad I didn't have to.
Like, what could have happened? It is spaghetti. Like, what did you do?
I don't understand. People have done, I mean, like, we've seen much worse.
It was not, did you have to shred, did people write letters from home on spaghetti and he dumped them on?
I mean, we watched Kiefer do last season with dunking, was, yeah, I mean, like, come on.
Yeah. Oh, that was the ice cream, wasn't it? Or the melted ice cream.
I was being vague so we didn't have to visualize.
I'm not good at remembering to pick up those cues, so I just kind of say it. So you're welcome, everyone. Yeah, that's true. I think after like listening to all these vague, creepy conversations about how dark it was, Moose was saying this morning, he's like, I think we were all just like really tired and it was a long day. Everyone was on edge because of the phone calls. Like they were so hungry. It was their first full day of slop. I think nothing actually bad happened. Kevin just probably made it weird because it's Kevin and it's fine, I hope.
Yeah. And I guess that's sort of something that should be mentioned, is that there is sort of a weird vibe in the house. They're all kind of cranky with the cold showers and the slop. And there's also this notion of potentially there being powers around, like, you know, when you answer the phone and you get a joke, you're like, damn it.
Yeah, right. I wasted it.
Yeah. Like Moose in particular was like, I should have waited. Like, I shouldn't have answered so fast because like there could be something big that is given out from this. And so they're all kind of like, you know, just like waiting for the phone calls, like wanting to make sure that like they don't do something wrong, but they don't even know what they're supposed to do right.
Us last night when Marty got a phone call and he was sitting on hold and then the feeds cut for an hour. We're like, seriously, Marty gets the power, but I don't think he got the power.
So that was pretty much the day. I mean, phone calls and Kyle campaigning was pretty much what we had. Mel, anything else you wanted to bring up?
Herman got a call that was screams. I almost started the update by just screaming. I thought I'd be nicer than that. So Herman had to like identify screams. That was his task. I still don't really know. Marty had to, do you know what Marty's is before I say what I think it is? Cause I think, I don't know, mine's weird.
So Marty had to like pose, right? Like, yeah. Well, I don't think he was actually naked.
Right.
I think it was like, my understanding is that it was like, one of those like naked suits.
Oh, okay. Because I saw that there was like a fig leaf involved. So maybe that was like covering something. You know, kind of how like the Big Brother 18 cast did that really weird, creepy cast picture where everyone was
naked? That's exactly what I was thinking.
So maybe Marty had to do something like that.
I was thinking of Polly walking around in pixelated thing.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. That in Bridget, right? Oh, that was. Yeah. I don't think Brothers passed that, right? Mm-hmm. We'll see tonight with their, tomorrow night with the Vito costumes.
Kyle did get a task, of course. It was
Kyle pooped on everyone.
I should have seen that.
That was where the campaigning came from.
Could have used a bidet.
All right. Anything else?
What else? They kind of just dropped the like historical throwbacks, eh? Week one, they had the phone rang for Suzette week one and we're doing an honorarium thing. And now it's been two more weeks and have they done any more? Is it just the Big Brother Canada thing where they just like start something and then, no, that's Big Brother US where they just kind of like pretend that they never really had a theme. They just stop.
Well, I mean, they're still doing the, you know, the winners at Wendy's and they are still doing like the throwback comps. The, we believe that this veto competition was the box one, which I mean, it's not really a throwback comp considering they,
the box one where they like have to roll the dice on the side.
No, the, like on the conveyor belts.
Oh, I like that one. That was Big Brother 3 or Canada 3.
Well, was it? I don't think it was 3, but they did it pretty recently. I think they did it in like.
Oh, so they're not
as well,
going
right?
like they're not going like chronologically. Yeah, they're just
like, it's not
random.
Necessarily chronological in that sense. Like the winners are have been, but yeah, I mean, I think in the first week we kind of thought there'd be like a throwback twist every week or something like that, considering the phone call. But I'm honestly kind of glad they're not doing that because.
That's fair.
They did do the boxes in 9. I'm trying to remember who won that one. I don't even remember. It must have been Jed, right?
100 guesses. I heard Summer this morning say she loved her letter from home. So that was, I don't know if I misheard that, but there may have been something about letters. She doesn't want HOH, so I don't know. And then Jess is just grumpy this morning because they're on slop. They like yelled at Moose. Moose wanted to come in. She's like, no, I need a minute. Jess is maybe like, this is what I was saying earlier, is Jess is kind of being like, I kind of want to like call Kyle out. Like he's spreading lies and stuff like that. And Josh is like, I think he said this after they left, but it was just like, don't do anything. Like just you're fine. Stop. So that's what we'll have to look out for today.
Yes, the grumpiness is definitely there for sure. All right, they're saying it had definitely happened in 7. Maybe it didn't happen in 9, but it happened in 7. And Adam Pike won the box. I do remember that one with Adam with all the boxes.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. Because did they get like Temptations in that one? Didn't Anthony get like, something? No, he lost. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember competitions very well. No. don't pay attention to them. All right, that's what we have for you here. Thank you so much for joining us. I will of course be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 10 live feeds. I imagine that we'll have a potentially grumpy house. Maybe we'll have some arguments if Kyle keeps pooping on everyone. And then tonight we'll have our roundtable. We'll rate the players once again, see where they have gone from last week. And, can Kyle move up from his 1? Who knows?
I am seriously not sure. Because, like, on the one hand, he did stuff this week. He didn't just roll over and die. But on the other hand, it's Kyle and he's awful at the game. So, good going.
We'll have to find out. Will Summer be our top rated player of the week for 2 weeks in a row? We'll find out. Tune in tonight. We'll go through the entire week on the feeds. And then, of course, tomorrow night we'll have an episode and I will be live with not live, actually. I'll be recording with Melissa afterward. And then we'll have some Survivor as well. I'll be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching the episode live with all of you as well as Survivor. So come hang out with me there. You can also find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn and check out all of the other cool stuff I've got out there. The Taryn Show with Tyson and all of that. Mel, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @YouCanAndYouMel in honor of the great Arissa. And I got nothing going on, but can you play that Herman sound clip? I love that one.
I'm not called Stir the Pot Poppy for no reason.
The one where he's yelling, somebody!
Send help, somebody!
Love that one. That's all.
I'm a bad boy.
No, oh, you boy. Ruined it. You're going to end on such a good note.
Yeah, baby!
All right. That's what we have for you today. Thank you so much for joining us, and I will see all of you next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.